You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC, the bright, happy show that gets its audience going immediately.
Come back!
Yes, please come back, because it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Fenella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps and Warren Mitchell take a light-hearted look at the advertising world. In many homes in Great Britain, the name of Niblo Foods is a household word. Who could forget Niblo's delicious telly snacks, the round biscuit with a square hole in the middle? Or their even more delicious Channel 9s, the square biscuit with the round hole in the middle. So when they dreamed up a new product, they naturally took it to Apsley, Addis, Cone, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners, the only advertising firm in the country with a hole in its head.
If you ask me, Maggie, these savoury squares are going to be very difficult to sell.
That's not the point, Michael. We've got to think of a way of launching them.
I would suggest straight into the River Clyde.
Well, that wouldn't do any good, old boy. From the smell of these things, I wouldn't be surprised if they could swim.
Now, let's consider this new biscuit from the inside, as it were. Immerse ourselves in it.
No, thank you. I don't want my moustache covered with a surprise savoury filling.
The surprise savoury filling, that's it. Let's do something about that.
It's high time somebody did. I suggest an anonymous letter to the Minister of Health.
Michael, do try and be constructive.
Oh, sorry, Maggie. Well, I'm not really with it this morning. Matter of fact, I'm rather worried about Janet.
Really? What's your darling secretary been up to now? Or is she not up to something now, and that's why you're worried?
Well, she went out this morning very mysteriously.
How do you mean, mysteriously? Was she disguised as a mandarin or something?
No, she was dressed as usual.
Well, that in itself is pretty mysterious. How she keeps everything up, I shall never know.
You're not supposed to.
No, but she muttered something about meeting that beatnik chum of hers, Hector Whittle.
Oh, dear, is he in circulation again?
Is he still painting pictures with a hairbrush?
No. Apparently he's decided to become an angry young writer.
What's he angry about?
He can't write.
Ah, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, hello, Mr. Blythe.
How are we getting along with the Savoury Squares campaign? Very important clients, Niblo Foods. One hopes you'll come up with something worthy of their product.
Well, we've thought of many things worthy of their surprise savoury filling, but we're still grappling with a biscuit around it, aren't we, Michael?
Oh, yes, grappling night and day.
Good lad, Lightfoot, good lad. One often imagines you night after night, grappling away in your office, often into the small hours.
Well, not every night, Mr. Blythe. Sometimes his secretary leaves early.
Well, finds it very difficult to grapple alone.
She helps you with your problems?
With Janet, there are no problems.
Morning, all. Is this the Savoury Squares comp? Oh, mercy, Mr. Blythe.
Ah, Miss Willis from the typing pool, I believe.
Nicely, Tar. Thank you for asking, and hope you are.
Presumably, you've come to throw in your lot with the common weal.
No, I've come to take notes. No one said anything about throwing a common lot. A common lot of what, may I ask?
Mavis!
Miss Tufnell, is this young lady often like this?
No, Mr. Bly, this is one of her bright days.
Yes. Well, one mustn't interrupt your work.
Oh, you're not interrupting me. I've only just come.
We'll keep you informed, Mr. Blythe.
Good. Goody, good, good, good. One likes to keep one's fingers on all the latest developments, doesn't one?
Oh, one does, but one's liable to get one's hand slapped.
Fancy calling us a common lot. What a liberty.
Mavis, can we please get back to Niblo Savoury Squares? Now, what we need is a really eye-catching layout.
Hello, everybody.
But not as eye-catching as all that. Janet, we're in conference.
I know, darling, but I simply had to bring in my friend to meet you. Come along, there's a good boy.
Janet, what on earth is that?
It's a dog, darling, isn't he sweet?
That is a dog.
That's right, Miss Tufnell. A canine quadruped. Yes, I picked that up off the back of a matchbox.
But whose dog is it?
Hector Whittle's, and he's called Hamlet. Say hello to everyone, Hamlet.
Hello.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, old chap. But, Janet, why is he called Hamlet?
Well, you could hardly call him Ophelia. I mean, he looks like a Hamlet, doesn't he?
Well, with that shaggy mane and those wild, staring eyes, he looks more like King Lear.
Hector says that Hamlet was the first beatnik in British literature. He really digs Shakespeare, does Hector?
Well, tell him not to dig too deep. The poor man must be turning in his grave.
Oh, is he dead, poor soul?
Hamlet, get down!
Maggie! He's pleased. He's
wagging his tail.
Well, I'm not.
Maggie, have you been keeping something from us?
I mean, I'm not pleased. Now, really, we can't have a dog in the office, especially a hulking brute like that.
Jan, what make is he?
Well, quite honestly, Mavis, quite honestly, I think he's a bit of everything. His mother lived near the Battersea Dog Home, is he?
Well, if you ask me, he's a cross between a Dalmatian wolfhound and an Aberdeen Angus.
Oh, I don't know. His hindquarters look as if they belong to a collie.
They probably did once. You know how Hector loves collecting things. I think the left leg at the front might have come from a very tall dachshund. Except it really ought to be at the back.
Maggie, stop talking about him like that. You'll give him a complex. He's a very clever dog. He can do tricks.
What, card tricks? Fancy.
No, Mavis. But Hector's trained him to bark and wag his tail if you say a certain word. I'll show you. Hamlet, now concentrate, darling, and show everyone your clever little trick. Now, what do you do when Hector says, crazy?
Roar, roar.
Oh, isn't that clever? Remarkable. Jolly good.
I must say, it's more than my Siamese cat can do.
Now, Hamlet, show them your other trick. Oh, this is fabulous. He lies down with his feet in the air and pretends to be dead. Hamlet, what do you do when Hector says square?
Oh, that's remarkable. Jolly good, Hamlet.
He must have seen the film.
Oh, he did several times. Hector liked to take Hamlet everywhere with him, but of course that has its problems.
Yes, it must be difficult to tell them apart.
Now, Janet, this is supposed to be a conference, not a sheepdog trial, so I suggest you take your Hamlet back to its owner.
Darling, I can't. I'm looking after Hamlet while Hector's away. He's gone to Stoke-on-Trent to gather material for his novel. He's going to write a fabulous exposé.
Exposé of what?
Well, he doesn't know until he's gathered the material.
Well, anyway, he set off this morning, hitchhiking down the M1.
Well, he won't get very far. Pedestrians aren't allowed on the M1.
Hector's not a pedestrian. He's a progressive thinker. He's up there.
Crazy.
Rope. Janet, I think you'd better take your little friend home. I don't think Mr. Blythe would appreciate his tricks.
Leave him at the flat all alone. Are you mad?
Well, he can have a friend in if he wants to.
I can't possibly leave him shut up by himself with no one to talk to.
But, Jan, you could always ring him up if you had anything urgent to say.
Oh, well, Hamlet doesn't go out much in the evenings. He can't afford it. So it seems only fair to bring him here during the day.
Oh, well, I suppose so, if Michael doesn't mind. But for goodness sake, don't let Mr. Blythe see him.
Oh, thanks, Maggie.
Now, can we please get back to the Niblo biscuit campaign? We're miles behind.
See you later. I'll take Hamlet for a walk round Berkeley Square.
Conference room, Maggie Tuffnell speaking. Oh, good morning, Mr. Blythe. No, Mr. Lightfoot isn't here at the moment. We're expecting him at any minute. The campaign? Yes, it's shaping nicely. At the conference yesterday morning, several interesting questions came up. So we had another conference in the afternoon to try and find some very interesting answers. This morning, well, we're trying to remember what the questions were. Right, Mr. Blythe, goodbye. Oh, dear, you know, I'm getting very worried about these Niblo savoury squares, Adrian.
So am I. Last night I got so desperate I even ate one.
Any results?
Plenty, but nothing you could use in a sales campaign. I was up till 3 o'clock. And finally went to bed with a soup plate full of bicarb.
Morning. Sorry I've kept you waiting.
Michael, where did you get those scratches?
I've been in the cupboard with Hamlet.
Quite sure it wasn't Janet.
Positive. Janet doesn't scratch when I take her in the cupboard. She wears boxing gloves.
Well, then what caused the trouble?
Well, I was just about to give Hamlet a tasty morsel of horse meat when I heard Mr. Blythe coming, so I dragged him in the cupboard, and believe me, it was no fun feeding him in the dark.
Perhaps Mr. Blythe doesn't like horse meat.
Michael, are you sure Mr. Blythe didn't suspect anything?
Absolutely positive. But when I was talking to him, I was terrified he'd say square or crazy, and Hamlet would start doing his tricks in the cupboard.
Oh, I don't think he'd do his dying act in a cupboard. He needs an audience.
Look, don't you think it's time we did a little work? If Mr. Blythe's in the vicinity, he may pop in.
Well, we can go through the motions. Where's Mavis? She should be here taking notes.
Oh, she won't be a minute. She's knitted a sweater for Hamlet, and she's gone up to give him a fitty.
Well, whatever next, I should think the poor animal suffered enough.
No, Hamlet's delighted with it. It's a polo neck sweater with a pocket.
For his handkerchief?
No, it's to put his rubber bone in and his license.
And sixpence for a parking meter.
Oh, do stand still, Hamlet. I must see if your sweater's the right size.
Looks terribly small. Mavis, are you sure it's finished?
Oh, it must be. I've used up all the wool. I hope he's finished growing.
Well, I see you've knitted 5 sleeves just in case.
Yeah, that's right. You see, that end one's to keep his tail warm. I mean, there's no point in having warm legs if you've got a cold tail, is there?
Well, I'm not really in a position to say. But it's very sweet of you to have knitted it. Where did you get the pattern?
Well, it's a sort of woolen merger, really. I mixed the pattern for a pair of baby's rompers with a pattern for a tea cosy. His tail goes up the spout. Yeah, keep still, Hamlet. Oh, here we are. Yeah, there now. How does it look?
Oh, it's fabulous, Mavis. And I'm sure Hamlet will be very happy in it. Canary yellow. It seems so right for him somehow. I think I'll pop out and buy him a new collar to match. Mavis, could you mind it for a few minutes?
Oh, what now? But I'm expected down in the conference room.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can take Hamlet with you. I won't be long. Now, where's the best place?
Well, how about that gent's outfitters on the corner?
No, Hamlet, Hamlet, get off my knee. We're supposed to be having a conference. Get off my knee.
Trick he picked up from Janet, no doubt.
Hello, conference room. Adrian Beale speaking. Good Lord, thanks for the warning, Stella. Mavis, get rid of Hamlet. Mr. Bly's on his way down.
Oh, mercy, shall I take him out?
No, no, there's no time. You'd come face to face with Mr. Bly, and if he saw Hamlet in his yellow sweater, it would be a terrible shock for both of them.
Well, let's hide him under the table. Come on, Hamlet. Under you go. And keep quiet.
Shh, he's coming.
In considering the various aspects...
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Oh, good morning, sir.
One has just popped in to see how we're progressing.
Oh, by leaps and bounds, sir.
Excellent. An original idea is what we need. The client's expecting big things. They feel they've really got something with this savoury square. Oh. What was that noise?
Nothing, just the wind.
Really?
Oh, it's a very windy morning.
Blown up rather suddenly.
Oh, no, no, it was a dreadful night.
Very unsettled.
It was after sampling the product.
To resume, Lightfoot, you say you've made progress. May one ask what lines you're working on?
Well, sir, one would rather not say until the whole thing is finalised, wouldn't we?
No. Well, I'll draw up a chair. Perhaps I may be able to contribute an idea or two.
Oh, very well. Where were we, Maggie?
We were just discussing the various sales aspects of the savoury... of these savoury equisided rectangles.
Miss Tufnell, there's no need to be so pedantic. The product is called savoury...
Mavis! Take a note.
What about?
Mr. Bly doesn't like the term savoury equisided rectangles.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't know the shorthand for savoury equisided whatever it is. Is it all right if I put square?
Bosh you! Bosh you!
One hopes you're not catching cold.
Well, Mr. Bly, as we said, it's a windy day.
There appears to be a draft coming from under the table.
Mr. Blythe, perhaps you'd better leave. We can't have you catching cold.
No danger of that. One finds this particular draft rather warm. Lightfoot, would you mind looking under the table? There may be a loose floorboard. Afraid I can't bend. Strained my back in the garden. Most inconvenient.
Not for us.
Thinning out the loganberries. My wife's crazy about loganberries.
Yeah, my gran swears by gardening. Last week she transported the herbaceous border single-handed. 83 she is and still doing the garden. Out there all day in Dad's old battle dress. Shame, really. Not that khaki doesn't suit her. But she doesn't look right with Dad's putties hanging down from under her gardening penny.
Thank you, Mavis, but I'm sure Mr. Blythe isn't interested in
this. On the contrary, Miss Tufnell, one is agog.
Well, you see, after she transported the border, she and my dad put down a lovely path, crazy paving all round in a square.
Lightfoot, what's going on under this table? Someone is interfering with my foot.
It's nothing, sir. It's just the draft.
Yeah, perhaps we ought to move the table into the corner.
There's no need. The table's moving by itself. Lightfoot, is this a dog I see before my eyes?
Yes, sir, but it's Hamlet, not Macbeth.
One is aware it's not Macbeth.
but neither is it Hamlet.
Mr. Blythe, Hamlet is the dog's name.
But why is it under my conference room table in a yellow sweater? There must be an explanation.
Well, he probably slipped it on because of the draft.
Mr. Beals, you ought to be dreaming up ideas for Niblo Foods, not thinking up foolish pranks.
But Mr. Blythe, that's what we have been doing. We were going to keep it as a surprise, but, well, now that you've seen the dog, you may as well know.
Know what?
Well, this dog is going to be featured in the Niblo Foods commercial. We've been working on a most original idea for using it.
Have we? Since when?
3 seconds ago.
Yes, one can see the possibilities. Country's full of dog lovers. Yes, well, it's all most intriguing, but I think I'd better go before my other foot gets interfered with. Finish the commercial as soon as possible. I can't wait to see it.
Neither can I. Michael, how on earth are you going to use that dog in the Niblo Foods campaign?
Oh, I've got it all worked out. Mavis, stand by for some rapid notes.
Well, in a minute, Mr. Lightfoot, I think it's time I took Hamlet for a walk round Berkeley Equisided Rectangle. I've brought Hamlet up to read his part, like you said.
Good. Now, if you'll all be quiet, I'll run over the final draft of the commercial.
I hope this is the final draft. I'm shooting the film tomorrow morning.
Have no qualms, old girl. It's brilliant.
And so it ought to be. I've given you plenty of ideas.
It's brilliant in spite of that. Now, please listen. We open in an oldie-worldy kitchen with oldie-worldy furniture, and a woman is standing by the oven.
She oldie-worldy too?
She's old Mother Hubbard.
Old Mother Hubbard, yes, I really like that.
Now, Mother Hubbard's in the kitchen and her dog is feeling hungry.
Oh, the poor soul.
So he sits up and begs. Oh, I suppose Hamlet can beg.
If he's been trained by Hector, he can go round with a hat as well.
Good. Well, after he begs, we hear a voice saying something about Niblo, scrumptious, offbeat crunch. Then we hear the rhyme and Hamlet joins in. At least I hope he does. Mavis, bring him over here and we'll try it.
Right here, Mr. Beals.
Now sit there, Hamlet, and listen. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard for the scrumptious, crazy crunch. But the cupboard was bare, no savoury square there. Of course, the lodger had them for lunch.
That's cute.
You see, you get the idea. The moment Hamlet knows that the lodger has eaten the squares, he turns over and dies with his feet in the air.
Unless the lodger does it first. Well, that's fine, Adrian. Look, there's just one thing, though. We haven't seen Hamlet beg. Now, come on, Hamlet. Up, boy.
Rather unsteady, isn't he?
We'll have to do better than that tomorrow. We don't want any hold-ups in the studio.
Miss Tufnell, I think my dad could do it.
Well, thanks for the offer, Mavis, but I don't think he's shaggy enough.
I mean, get him to beg nicely. Let me take Hamlet home tonight. Dad could teach him in less time than it takes.
Are you sure he'll be all right?
Of course. Animals just love my dad. When he walks down the street, all the cats follow him and lick his hand.
He must be a very messy eater.
Michael, please, this is important. I don't want any hitches tomorrow. Now, Mavis, I think perhaps you'd better take Hamlet home with you and teach him.
Yes, and take the script as well. See that he begs and barks in the right places.
Okay, then.
You're quite certain your dad won't mind?
No, I told you he's mad about animals. In fact, the only time he's affectionate to Mum is when he wants to make the dog jealous. That is, of course, except when he's not speaking to his pigeons.
Well, Maggie, are we all set to go?
I wish we were. We're supposed to shoot that commercial in half an hour and there's no sign of Mavis.
And what's more important, Hamlet.
Gosh, we can't shoot the film without him. I mean, it would be like trying to do Hamlet without, without... Who does play the title role in Hamlet?
Henry VIII.
Exactly.
Except, of course, when there's half-price matinees and then it's Henry IV.
Michael, the most awful thing is going to happen.
Oh, it's not Mavis.
No, it's Hector. He just rang me. He's back.
So he's gathered enough material for his novel?
No. He said on the journey he thought of a plot, and that spoiled everything. He can't write a story with a plot. He finds it too restricting. So he's abandoned it.
But you said an awful thing was going to happen. Now, apparently it isn't.
Well, it is to us. Hector's on his way round to collect Hamlet.
What's the hurry? Didn't you tell him he was filming?
Yes, and I wish I hadn't. Hector practically went berserk. Said no dog of his was going to be exploited. He's threatened to come belting round and put his foot down.
I say, this is marvellous. We're supposed to shoot a commercial with a Hamlet who isn't here, and even if he was, he won't be because Hector's coming round to take him away.
You sound exactly like Mavis, old boy.
But there the resemblance ends.
So I should hope.
More Morning, all. I'm ever so sorry to be late. We had this contretemps with a conductor on the way, you see.
Mavis, where's Hamlet? You hadn't lost him.
Oh, it's all right, Miss Tufnell. I left him with Stella on the switchboard. You see, I was going to the ladies' restroom, and I couldn't very well take a hymn in with me.
Well, thank goodness you turned up, Mavis. And how did Dad get on with Hamlet? Does he beg nicely now?
Oh, yes. And it's that what caused the trouble on the bus. He wouldn't stop begging. He begged up and down and on top and collected all the fare. I mean, you see, everyone thought it was smashing except the conductor.
Mavis, tell us later. We've got to get over to the studio. Does Hamlet know his part?
Oh, yes. Ran through it after breakfast. Then he sat on my grand's knee and looked down her ear trumpet. He was just like one of the family.
I'm sure he was.
Oh, Michael, do hurry. If Hector comes and sees Hamlet, there's going to be a frightful scene, and they're both so highly strung.
Yes, we don't want Hamlet upset.
Oh, that's true. I expect he's had enough shocks for one day after looking down that ear trumpet.
Now, Mavis, now you stay here, and whatever you do, don't tell Hector we're at the studio. Say we're in conference.
Rightio. I'll act dumb so as he won't be suspicious.
Yeah. No, no, just be yourself and don't tell him Hamlet's with us.
Well, shall I say he's lost?
Yes, tell him I've taken him out for walkies.
Yes, and we've gone for a coffee.
All rightio. I'll say that none of you are anywhere except Hamlet, who's popped out for a coffee and Mr. Beals has taken Janet for walkies.
Quiet in the studio, please. Quiet. We're about to rehearse the Niblo commercial.
Oh, good morning, Miss Tufnell.
Good morning, Charlie.
Now, where's the actress playing old Mother Hubbard?
Well, I'll give her a call, shall I?
Please.
Miss Letchworth, you're wanted.
Come in, come in. I'm not at all happy about my appearance. Not at all happy. There's a gravy stain on my little mutton sleeve.
Don't worry, Miss Letchworth. The camera will be on Hamlet most of the time.
Hamlet? But I was engaged to play old Mother Hubbard. She doesn't come into Hamlet. I ought to be giving my Ophelia.
No, thanks. You keep it. I'll explain later.
But it was my biggest triumph, Miss Tufnell. They bore him barefaced on the bier. Hey, nonny, nonny, nonny. And in his...
Not now, Miss Letchworth.
Hamlet's all ready to start, Maggie, aren't you, Hamlet?
You're fine. Well, we're doing the first rehearsal without the vocal group. You all said to give Hamlet his cue.
Yes, darling.
Oh, Maggie, I've sorted out the background music.
Good. What was the trouble?
Well, Adrian wanted Tales from the Vienna Woods, but I thought it was a bit much.
Places, everyone, please. We're going to rehearse.
There's rosemary, that's for remembrance. And there's pansies,
Miss Letchworth. Miss Letchworth, please, get into position. Stand over there and don't move till I tell you.
Well, I hope Hamlet remembers what he's got to do.
Well, it was perfect at the rehearsal yesterday, old boy. Lassie couldn't have been better.
Right, Janet, off you go. Opening music, please.
Niblo Foods, the larder of the nation, bring you a brand new biscuit. A scrumptious offbeat crunch.
Start moving towards the cupboard, Miss Letchworth.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard for a scrumptious, crazy crunch.
Go on, Hamlet, that's your cue.
Try him again, Janet.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard for a scrumptious, crazy crunch.
No, Hamlet. You're supposed to wag your tail and bark with delight.
He's lost his memory. I knew it would happen.
Yes, it was meeting Mavis's family. The shock's been too much for him.
I've reached the cupboard. What do I do now, Miss Tufnell?
Get inside and shut the door. Come on, we'll try again.
Well, he's perfectly all right, Hector. It's just that he isn't here, you see.
Where is he, man? Well, where's Hamlet, man?
Well, No, nobody knows. At least that's what everyone says.
He's not lost, man.
Oh, no, he knows where he is. It's just that he's not telling anyone.
Well, then, where are all the others, man?
Well, they all went off to this unknown conference in strict privacy, you see. And I can't divulge its whereabouts until the conclusion of same, due to those concerned wishing to appear elsewhere meanwhile, by which time it'll be finished.
Oh, man, it's all right, man. That dog's been like a mother to me, man.
Well, mercy. I'm sure when I took him back to my place, he behaved like a perfect gent.
Your place, man? But like I thought he was staying with Janet, man.
Well, he was, but I took him home in connection with rehearsing with old Mother Hubbard. Hamlet and I were...
Rehearsing? With old Mother Hubbard, man? Like, is everyone in this place crazy, man?
Oh, Hector. Oh, do you know... When you said crazy, I felt sort of, well, I don't know how to put it exactly.
Like you dig it, man?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as digging exactly, but I wonder what a dog biscuit tastes like.
Michael, it's hopeless. We've rehearsed this scene a dozen times and Hamlet still hasn't got it right.
I don't understand it, Maggie. He did it perfectly yesterday, wagged his tail in exactly the right place.
But he hasn't wagged it anywhere today.
If you ask me, he's suffering from amnesia. He must have had some traumatic experience at Mavis's. His memory's gone.
Well, when's he going to come back if I find out who's responsible?
The quality of mercy is not spared.
Speak for yourself, Miss Letchworth.
And Robert has the gentle dew from heaven.
I wish someone would drop something on Miss Letchworth.
Upon the place beneath.
Any place you like now, Miss Letchworth. Do go and have a cup of tea.
No, very well. No one appreciates the classics nowadays.
It's no good, Maggie. I've been pleading with Hamlet for hours, but he's got a vacant sort of look in his eyes as though he were elsewhere.
Where's my dog, man? I've got to see my dog.
Good heavens, Hector Whittle.
Oh, Miss Tufnell, I'm terribly sorry. Truly, I am. I didn't mean to tell him where you were, but I heard a voice speaking, and when I stopped to listen, I found it was mine.
Hamlet, man, am I glad to see you, man? Whoa, crazy, man.
Maggie, did you see that? He wagged his tail and barked. Does that mean he's recovered?
It's too much to hope. Hector, say what you said again.
Crazy, man.
I think he's all right. It was a shock of meeting Hector again.
Michael, there's only one thing to do. Perhaps we could persuade Hector to play old Mother Hubbard.
Me? Like me? Play old Mother Hubbard, man? What do you think I am, a square?
Mavis, get up off the floor immediately.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Mr. Blythe and several other unlikely characters were played by Warren Mitchell, and Hamlet by Peter Hawkins. The script of this shaggy dog story was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who are known as the Romulus and Remus of Broadcasting House. Mainly because of their handwriting. The show was produced by that gay old dog Eric Miller, and we'd like to send a warning to all dogs who may be listening. If you're spending the day in the country, please take your litter home with you.